Well, gentlemen, I have surgery in the morning, so let's get this f***ing show on the road. Ready? God damn it! What happened to get on my level, Zach?
He never said what level he's on. You're grading on a curve.
Welcome to level one.
It was recording from the wrong microphone.
Level zero it is, bitch.
Oh, well. All right, I'm ready. Let's do this. Time's up.
Do it.
Let's do this.
Welcome, dear listener, to the QQ Cast. Today is Thursday, November 21st, 2024. We're your host, Anupon, Zach Mayer, and Raul Torres. Hi, gentlemen.
Hi, gentlemen.
Correct. And this, dear listener, is Quest 345. Which character would be the best celebrity? So, gentlemen, I had an idea. I'm going to combine two different things into one of our most original ideas yet. All right, so we're going to take a character, fictional character, and we're going to imagine for a moment, we're going to posit that they were a real person in the real world and that they were a celebrity. We are then going to play a heavily modified game of Fuck, Marry, Kill, where we take three different categories and assign them to those characters. Dear listener, you should have seen Zach's face. I almost got a spit take out of his Dorito. I don't know what he's eating. Why is everyone eating but me? Fuck you people. Seaweed snacks. Oh, fuck no. I don't want to be eating anymore.
Do they lose their magical powers or do they bring their magical powers into the real world?
I don't know, but I have a new soundbite for Zach's snack.
We have no law to fit your crime.
Yes, we've got new ones.
Oh, that's good. That's
new
real
ones.
Good.
All right.
Yeah, no. Hit Trader Joe's spicy tempura seaweed snack.
And they're spicy.
So good.
All right. Gentlemen, how does this abstract, bizarre idea sound to you?
Yeah, I'm in. Let's go.
All right.
Complicated, but I like it.
All right. Well, gentlemen, you can imagine how I prepared for this. I hit up our old friend, the robots, the AI, to help select characters, select categories. And then I even had the AI answer the questions. So we're going to answer the questions. And then we're going to see what the AI said, and we're going to argue with our robot overlords. So, our first category is From the Stars. So we have Luke Skywalker from Star Wars, the Doctor from Doctor Who, and our absolute favorite, Zach, I got to find the damn music, Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Federation Starship Enterprise. I don't know why he's Scottish all of a sudden, but it's just the voice I started doing. All right, so gentlemen, those are our three characters. Luke Skywalker, the Doctor, Captain Picard. Here are our three categories, okay? I should have read the descriptions from ChatGPT. Luke Skywalker, a farm boy turned Jedi Knight. Luke embraces hope, redemption, and the fight against tyranny. The Doctor, as described by ChatGPT, is... This time-traveling Time Lord uses intellect, compassion, and a sonic screwdriver to save civilization across space and time. And of course, the always awesome Mon Capitaine Jean-Luc. A diplomat, philosopher, and leader, Picard exemplifies the ideal of peaceful exploration and reason. Does that sound accurate?
Yeah, sure.
What season of Doctor Who are we talking about?
Oh, God damn it. I don't know.
Yeah, which doctor?
Because that's going to be a deal breaker there. Not going to lie.
No! You know what? I don't know. Y'all figure it out. Okay, here are our three not fuck, marry, kills. Okay. Receiving custom designer clothing, described as wearing one-of-a-kind outfits crafted by luxury brand for special events. Category number two, front row seats at a major sporting event. Sit courtside at NBA games or VIP boxes at the Super Bowl. And category number three is get swag bags at high-end events. Received gift bags worth thousands of dollars and exclusive products. So, who would you assign to which?
That's so hard.
That's the game, baby.
So, the categories one more time.
The categories are receiving custom designer clothing, two, front row seats at major sporting events, and three, get swag bags at high-end events.
I wanted the Doctor for high-end clothing. But I think
we're on the same page of that one.
Definitely.
Yes.
That's three.
Well, but his whole thing is traveling around and witnessing stuff, so it might just be the sporting events.
Oh, shit.
Ooh, I like that one better.
But Luke Skywalker has been to a damn Rancor fight. How does he not belong in the front row seats at a major sporting event?
So
he watched the Battle of Endor through a window. That was front row Emperor box seat, motherfucker.
Yeah, but think of how good Luke Skywalker looked in his black suit in Return of the Jedi. Ooh. He's got to be high-end clothing.
Ooh. It's not bad. It's not a bad argument.
Yeah. Which leaves whatever the last category is for Jean-Luc Picard. He gets gifts, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Swag bags.
I feel like swag bags is like very like not Star Wars or Star Trek-y. Sorry. I'm going to get him confused all the time.
He'd get lots of really good swag bags for his vintage wine that he bottles himself, because of course he does.
Ooh.
So I don't know if Picard might be the more fashionable one, because I could have swore that I've seen dude bro dressed in spiffy ways. I can't even remember his name now.
Yeah, sure. But he's also from a post-scarcity society. The only way that he survives is off of the kindness of others. So if he's not getting gifts, then he just fades away.
But I thought the caveat was they're celebrities now, not in the future time.
These are modern celebrities in the here and the now.
That's what I'm saying. He used to be. He's used to a post-scarcity society.
Oh, he has no skill set.
Now he's here.
He can't thrive in a modern, in the year 2024.
Exactly.
Okay.
He doesn't make his own money. He has always depended upon the kindness of strangers.
Oh, shit. All right, Zach, make your calls.
Yeah, I think that's it. Picard gets the gifts. Doctor witnesses sports games. And Luke gets designer clothing.
Really?
I second everything that Zach said. I'm getting my footing. I will argue eventually, but I just need to steady your ground.
See, I disagree. I do agree Picard gets the swag bags, but that's because you go home with a bottle of wine. But no, as I explained earlier, Luke Skywalker is absolutely front side sports. He did that all throughout the trilogy. And Doctor Who is the designer clothing. He has that scarf. Fuck you. He has those sunglasses. Well, one of the incarnations did.
Mm.
Oh, ready for ChatGPT's answers?
All right, sure.
All right, Luke Skywalker is front row seats at a major sporting event.
Boo.
For you guys and for me. The Doctor is receive designer clothing, and Jean-Luc Picard is swag bags. We all got that one. Go team. So yeah, here's the descriptions. Luke Skywalker, as a Jedi, Luke would appreciate the excitement and camaraderie of sports while finding deeper meaning in the unity they bring. The Doctor is known for their plural quality and distinct style, so a one-of-a-kind outfit would perfectly match their eccentric personality and flair for standing out. And Jean-Luc Picard's refined taste and appreciation for fine wine, literature, and luxury would make him an ideal recipient for exclusive swag bags filled with high-end items. That's what our robot overlords thought.
I thought Luke wanted to be alone and by himself and never around people. No, so, like, sporting events is just...
That's new Luke, who is old, as opposed to old Luke, who was young. Star Wars is confusing. It's so confusing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Ready for the next category? Yeah.
I guess the Doctor does need help, because this is the same guy that said fezzes are cool.
Cool. I got enough.
All right.
Cool.
My name is Jeffrey.
Cool. All right. The next category is emo kids. Where are they now? So our characters are...
Oh, good.
Spock from Star Trek. With his logic-driven Vulcan perspective, Spock is both a voice of reason and an enduring symbol of the balance between emotion and intellect. Person number two is Neo from The Matrix. The one who learns to bend the rules of reality, Neo represents rebellion against oppression and the search for truth. And our third and final character in the emo kids category is Rick Deckard from Blade Runner. A Blade Runner is tasked with hunting down rogue androids. Deckard grapples with questions of humanity, morality, and identity. All right, ready for categories?
Category? No, not at all.
Category
Nobody's
number one.
Ever been ready.
Record voiceovers for animated films. Bring animated characters to life in blockbuster productions. Number two, host or appear on Saturday Night Live. Participate in iconic sketches and showcase comedic talent. And three is sign autographs at Comic-Con. Attend conventions where fans pay for personal moments or memorabilia. So those three characters are Spock, Neo, and Deckard. The three categories are record voiceovers for animated films, host or appear on Saturday Night Live, and sign autographs at Comic-Con. Go, gentlemen.
Spock would definitely be on SNL. I feel like the tension there would just be comedic genius.
Okay, Spock is SNL. All right, kind of love it.
Because they would try to make him laugh, and he would be very serious-faced all the time, and then the cast would just break down and laugh at their own jokes, and they just wouldn't be able to crack a smile.
Okay, I like this logic so much. This wasn't what I was going with, but you're kind of selling me.
I'm going to go with Neo at Comic-Con. Because I know he missed out the crazy drum rave thing in the movie, but I think he can handle a crowd pretty well. And I'm going to leave that. I guess that just leaves Deckard with the voiceovers. So let's just assume that he has the ability to do lots of voices, given spoilers. Can you spoil that movie? Is it even worth spoiling?
Spoil anything. I don't give a shit.
Robots can make funny noises.
I don't know. I feel like Neo could do the voiceovers.
He could not be the voiceovers.
He could totally do the voiceovers.
Anytime that Keanu Reeves plays anything, he plays Keanu Reeves.
Well, yeah, but that's okay. It's not Keanu Reeves we're talking about.
He's going to do one character.
Neo has like everywhere. Neo has range, is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And he'd probably appreciate the cultural references. Chance to take a break from being the one. And reconnect with pop culture and all that good stuff. Deckard, though, Deckard's a synth. He's cynical. He's in it for the money. If he's signing autographs, they are being paid for.
This is all really good logic. Ruli has definitely sold me on Saturday Night Live for Spock.
100%.
I completely agree with Zach's logic for Deckard is in it for the money, which definitely leaves, Keanu Reeves as voiceovers. And he is about to be Shadow in the upcoming film. So I got to go with this. This is pretty good. This is pretty good. All right. Ready for ChatGPT's answers?
Do it.
All right.
Yep.
Spock records voiceovers for animated films. With his calm, logical voice and precise diction, Spock would excel at voicing animated characters, especially those requiring gravitas or wisdom. Neo. Host or appear on Saturday Night Live, Neo's journey from serious hero to someone embracing his role in a surreal world would lend itself well to comedic sketches, potentially poking fun at The Matrix. I think that rationale sucks ass, but that's me. Deckard, sign autographs at Comic Cons. As a cult favorite character in a gritty world of Blade Runner, Deckard would draw a devoted fan base eager for autographs and discussion about his enigmatic story. I think I disagree with all these except Deckard.
I wonder if they because whenever I think like Star Trek cast for voiceovers, like hasn't George Takei done like a lot of stuff? Like I know he's been in Kubo and lots of other random anime shows. So yeah. Maybe that's where ChatGPT got that idea from.
Maybe he was also in Resident Alien. I mean, love it.
Yeah, I guess if he's doing voiceovers for an animated version of Planet Earth or a documentary or something,
that'd be pretty
good. I'd listen to that all day.
But this was animated films, so I don't know. All right, gentlemen, our next category is Do Not Fuck With, where our celebrity heroes are Sarah Connor the Terminator series.
Sarah Connor.
From a vulnerable waitress to a hardened protector of humanity's future, Sarah's arc is one of strength and determination. Ellen Ripley from the Alien series, a trailblazing female hero, Ripley's resourcefulness and resilience make her a standout survivor in the face of alien threats. And our third hero is Leeloo from The Fifth Element, a genetically perfect being. Leeloo's journey to save humanity is full with heart and action, making her a unique hero in sci-fi cinema. And our categories are: one, meet world leaders. Engage in diplomatic or philanthropic meetings with presidents, royalty, or international dignitaries. Number two, appear on late-night talk shows, promote their projects, and engage in playful interviews and banter with famous hosts. And number three, be a judge on a talent show. Critique rising stars on shows like The Voice or American Idol or Lego Masters, which Corey and I have actually been watching. It's pretty entertaining. We put it on during dinner. Dear listener, they're both nodding. I'm getting the most humored nods of all time.
Is that the Star Wars one? No, Rebuild the Universe. Sorry, that's what I was thinking of.
What?
Or Rebuild the Galaxy.
What?
There are lots of Lego shows.
Yeah. It's the Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy. Pretty good.
Okay. Anyway, so gentlemen, Sarah Connor, Ellen Ripley, Leeloo, and the categories are meet world leaders, appear on late night talk shows, and be a judge on a talent show. What do you got?
Ripley's got to be the talent show judge.
No, that's Leeloo.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to be Ripley because she's the smart one. She's the smart one who everybody needs to listen to. So when she's judging talent, she tells you that you have none. You have to understand that she's coming from a place of expertise.
But I'd rather have that
she
expertise
knows what she's talking about.
With world leaders and not TV shows. So you just argued against yourself, sir.
I guess you're right. Damn.
Leeloo will be like the happy bubbly one. Like, you know, you don't want no Simon Cowell on your TV show. You want someone to be encouraging, be like, you know, you sang your heart out, but you gotta go. Bye.
But all she says is multipass.
Exactly. Everyone gets a multipass.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Connor, I guess, on the late night shows, but it's just always talking about the robots are coming, and I think that's fine.
Well then wait a second.
That would actually be really fun if you had Sarah Connor judging the talent, and she's just like, that talent is amazing, but it's useless when the Terminators come.
Okay, I can see that.
And then you've got Leeloo on the late night shows with just like hanging out with, I don't know, a disabled three-legged puppy or something. She doesn't even have to talk. Everybody else will talk, and she'll just be Leeloo, Dallas, multipass.
She learns all the things quickly, right? I guess, maybe.
It would be funny if she was speaking in her divine language or whatever whenever she was asked a question, and they're just like, okay, moving on.
All right, so final answers are, Zach?
Yeah, I guess I agree with Ripley for the... what was the first category again?
Meet world leaders.
World leaders. Yeah. Okay. Sure. I guess. I think Leeloo would be more fun on the talk show circuit, and that leaves Sarah Connor judging talent.
Wow. I have completely different
Terminator
answers.
Survivability.
Completely different. Ruli, so you're in line with Zach?
No, I'm with Sarah Connor for the late night shows, Ellen Ripley for the world leader, and Leeloo for the judging of the shows.
Oh, dear God. We're all so different. So meet world leaders has to be Leeloo because she meets the president in the fucking movie, and she meets like, you know, celebrities at the whatever the fuck gala thing. So she could just go around, talk and laugh. Appear at Lake Shake talk shows, Ellen Ripley, because she has a sharp wit. Like she, you know, I'm sorry. Did senses of humor drop off sharply while I was away? Fucking great. And then, of course, talent shows, Leeloo. She's not necessarily Sarah Connor, because, I don't know, she's just a bitch. She fucking yell at everybody. It'd be great. All right. Ready to see what ChatGPT says?
Do it.
Let's go.
Sarah Connor, meet world leaders. Her deep understanding of existential threats, like Skynet, Sarah would bring a unique and urgent perspective to discussions about global security and humanity's fate. That's actually pretty good rationale, in my opinion. Ellen Ripley, up here on late night talk shows, suck it, boys. Ripley's dry wit and fascinating stories of survival in space would make her a captivating and memorable guest for a talk show audience. Which leaves us with Leeloo, be a judge on a talent show. Leeloo's expressive and unique personality would shine in a talent show setting, where her enthusiasm and fresh perspective would add a touch of fun and unpredictability. There you go. I don't know. I think the robots did pretty good on that one, actually.
I got none. Raul, I think you got one, maybe two.
I have no idea. I've lost track of all things right now.
I think Tom got one.
I got one. Yeah, we're not keeping score. Fuck score. Who cares?
It's just amazing how far off we all were.
Oh yeah, it's great. But I do think these explanations actually at least made sense. All right, gentlemen, before we get to the next category.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Ruli, who's our sponsor for this evening?
Do you have a hard time keeping track of stuff? Are you sick and tired of things losing charge? You know what? Pen and paper. Gotta write down six things to remember because you can't keep them all in your mind? Pen and paper.
Bullshit. It's called Obsidian. Obsidian.
Need to make little cross thingies to figure out who they're gonna go with to make your answer easier? Pen and paper.
Zach, I'm sorry. We're gonna have to do another sponsor. Zach, who's our real sponsor for this evening?
The buoys off the Pacific coast, measuring wind speed and wave height. with the onset of the what was it called? The
something bomb.
Atmospheric
Mega
river.
Cyclone? Mega cyclone?
The bomb cyclone riding the atmospheric river. Winds and rains and power outages galore. But those buoys keep on trucking. Whatever they're made of, I want it. You should too.
Correct! All right, gentlemen. Our next category, we have two categories left. The next category is Kids Are Dumb. So our first character is Frodo Baggins from Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien.
Isn't he like 40 in the
It's probably a
book or something?
It's probably 100. I don't fucking know. A humble hobbit who embarks on a perilous journey to destroy the One Ring, showcasing immense courage despite overwhelming odds. Character number two, Harry Potter from Harry Potter, a series by someone we don't talk anymore because she's kind of a bitch. The, quote, boy who lived, quote, Harry is a symbol of hope and resilience as he battles against Lord Voldemort to protect the wizarding world. Doesn't he protect, like, all the worlds? Or just the wizarding world? I don't fucking know. Who cares?
Just the wizards.
Number three, who I think only Zach might know something about here, Rand Althor from the Wheel of Time series by Robert Jordan. The Dragon Reborn, spoilers, Rand is a reluctant hero grappling with immense power and responsibility in a battle against the Dark One. I don't actually think he's a kid either, but reluctant heroes, whatever, kids are dumb. So here
Hold up. Frodo is 50. Harry Potter, I guess, is between 12 and 17. And this other dude is 20. So, you know what? I'll accept it. Kids, you're not really an adult until, like, ever. So,
it's good. I don't know. Kids are dumb.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with it, goddammit. Three categories, gentlemen. One, be a brand ambassador. Collaborate with luxury brands and represent them globally. Two, cameo in major films or TV shows. Make surprise appearances that generate buzz. And three, be interviewed by high-profile journalists. Share their stories with platforms like Vogue, Vanity Fair, or 60 Minutes. So that again is one, Frodo Baggins. Two, Harry Potter. Three, Rand Althor. And the categories are one, brand ambassador. Two, cameo in major films or TV shows. And three, be interviewed by high-profile journalists.
Oh, this one's easy.
Really?
Yeah, okay. The brand ambassador is Harry Potter. The cameo person is Harry Potter. And the interview person is Harry Potter. Because I don't think Frodo could... I don't know, he's going to be lazy and have his third lunch.
Look, dude. Yeah, you can't fuck Mary Kill the same... Well, I guess you can, but we're not doing that.
Wait. Sorry, back up a step. Are we doing Frodo or Bilbo?
Oh, sorry, Frodo. Frodo Baggins.
Frodo. Okay. Okay. Because I would have said that Bilbo could do the like the interviews and talk about his story like 60 minutes.
That's
on
true.
The
that would have been better.
The journey to the Lonely Mountain.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That would have been better.
I totally take it.
Yeah.
Frodo probably doesn't want to talk about it. Like, yeah, I almost kept the ring that was going to end everything. Had to be overpowered by my gardener and special needs kid. And we threw that guy into a fire. So maybe we don't talk about that so much. Maybe we let everybody form their own opinions and just leave that alone. So Frodo then, where does he fit? He's probably not the brand ambassador. So then what was the first category again?
Brand ambassador,
yeah, brand ambassador.
Cameo in major films, or be cameo interviewed by journalists. Films.
Then he's got to be the cameo guy. Frodo's the cameo guy. I don't know anything about Rand. That's not true.
That's,
I watched like I watched like part of a season of the Wheel of Time Amazon Prime series, yeah. but it was bad and I stopped watching it. So, yeah.
All right.
I don't really know anything about him. Which leaves Harry Potter. I guess he could be a brand ambassador. He's probably going to get accosted and be the media guy, though. Like, has some experience with that, being all famous for his entire life. So maybe he's the media guy, and I guess that leaves Rand as a brand ambassador. I don't know anything about him, so maybe that's fine. Maybe he can be a hand model, and nobody has to know anything about him.
Ruli, what do you got?
All right, I'm going to keep Harry Potter as a cameo person. And you know what? This Rand, whoever, he needs to do interviews because I know nothing about him. So an interview would be great to actually figure out what the heck's going on.
Yeah,
and
there you go.
Frodo, you know, just a brand ambassador, but let's just make it more specific. He'll be like the food guy because, okay. you know, yeah, because don't they have like fourth breakfast or something?
Yes.
Seventh dinner, fourth breakfast. He seems like a foodie.
Fair enough.
And then maybe you can talk about vapes too, because don't they vape it up?
They do enjoy a good pipe.
Frodo can be the best vape ambassador,
I
think.
Oh my God.
Old Toby, finest weed in the South Farthing.
See, I would have said Harry Potter is the brand ambassador because he's got those, you know, awesome school uniforms. He could totally rock it. Cameo in major films. I think I'm being biased by Elijah Wood. So I would have said Frodo. And then, yes, I also know nothing about Rand, which, really, your logic of, well, then clearly we need to interview the motherfucker. That is like, mwah, chef's kiss. So, yeah, let's see what ChatGPT had to say about these. All right. Frodo Baggins is be interviewed by high-profile journalists. As a humble hero with an extraordinary story, Frodo would captivate journalists and audience alike with his reflections on courage, friendship, and sacrifice. Harry Potter would, nailed it, gentlemen, be a brand ambassador. Harry's global fame, iconic lightning scar, and status as the boy who lived. Is that really his? That is a stupid name. Is that a thing? That is so stupid. Make him the perfect representative for the brand that stands for hope, bravery, and magic. So Nike? I don't fucking know. And last and least, Rand Althor, cameo in major films or TV shows as a larger-than-life figure with a complex destiny. Rand's appearance would add gravitas and intrigue to any film or TV series, especially with a fantasy context. I think that sucks. Okay, moving on. Gentlemen, final category. Hold my mead. All right, and this... you guys should be kick at particular Zach. I'm expecting a lot out of you right now. Okay. Don't fuck up is what I'm saying. Characters. Number one, Geralt of Rivia, the Witcher series by, I am not even going to try to pronounce his name. A grizzled monster hunter with a code of ethics. Geralt is a complex anti-hero navigating moral ambiguity in a dark fantasy world. Number two, Daenerys Targaryen. Did I pronounce that right?
No.
A Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones by George R.R. Martin. The Queen of Dragons. Seeks to reclaim her throne, balancing ideals of justice and vengeance in her quest. And third, and definitely not least, Conan the Barbarian. Conan series by Edward E. Howard. A larger-than-life warrior with unmatched strength and cunning. Conan is a classic sword and sorcery hero whose adventures define the genre. All right, gentlemen, here come the categories. Hold on to your butts. I need to put that on the soundboard. One, write a children's book. Author an illustrated book for children ages 6 through 10. Two, surprise fans on social media or in person. Host meet and greets or respond to fan messages in viral ways. And three, have personal museum tours. Explore exhibits after hours with curators. So that's Geralt of Rivia. I'm so embarrassed that I can't even pronounce Daenerys, whatever her name is, from Game of Thrones. Conan the Barbarian. And the categories are write a children's book, surprise fans on social media, and have personal museum tours. Let's go, Zach. I'm expecting a lot from you, buddy.
Daenerys is writing the children's book because I think it would be hilarious. I think Geralt is doing museum tours. I think he would have a lot of lore to impart upon visitors, and he'd do it in just such a nice, soothing baritone way. Conan the Barbarian is made for memeability. Like, imagine this dude doing TikTok dances. It would be amazing. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger, but like him and Terry Crews would hang out all the time. It'd be amazing.
God, I didn't have those as my answers, but they're so good. Those answers are so good.
Zach, why do we mind meld all the time? Looks like I have, that's my little crisscrossy thing. See, you can see it. That's everything. Yeah.
Love it.
But kind of reverse order, because like I didn't know anything about Queen of Dragons. So she actually got the child book one just because that was the last one. to do Geralt for the Witcher, I figured, yeah, he's going to have a lot of knowledge about random junk and he's just going to be able to ramble on about it. Maybe he has his bard with him too. So maybe he can kind of do this like double team up thing and like he can sing about some of the stuff too. So that might be good. Yeah, just Conan showing up at anything would be a blast. So.
Oh, man. All right, gentlemen, the bots. What did you say, Tom? Oh, I'm totally, you guys have sold me. I'm totally going with yours. I think originally I was going to have Conan as the museum tour, Daenerys as fans, and Geralt as children's book, because he had his bard, the bard could write the children's book. But no, you guys have sold me. I am so sold with your answers. They are so good. So, actually, shit, as I look over, wow, I would have nailed these 3 for 3 if I stuck with my own answers, but I didn't. So, one, Geralt of Rivia, write a children's book. Beneath his gruff exterior, Geralt has a deep sense of morality and storytelling skills. Bullshit. Making him ideal for crafting enchanting and thought-provoking tales for children. I call bullshit. Daenerys Targaryen, surprise fans on social media. As a charismatic and beloved figure with a powerful presence, Daenerys surprising fans would be both inspiring and memorable, especially in her connection to fire blood. What the fuck does that mean? I don't know what the fuck that means. And of course, 3, Conan the Barbarian have personal museum tours. Conan's deep ties to ancient treasure-filled civilizations and his fascination with relics of power would make him a private museum tour his ideal activity. I am calling bull fucking shit on that one. Man,
she's the mother of dragons. She writes the children's book for the dragons.
And Geralt is way more into artifacts than Conan. Conan's into fucking swords. And your Terry Crews argument sold me so good. It's so
well.
Good.
That's the best part is Geralt doesn't give a shit about the artifacts themselves. He just knows all about them. So he's giving you the tour like it's the most mundane stuff in the world, and it could be fucking King Arthur's sword Excalibur just sitting there. He's like, that's a magic sword. It killed a witch once.
It's probably true.
I've killed lots of witches.
Oh, fuck.
I'm Batman.
All right, gentlemen, I am giving the AI's answers a score of...
Not good enough, damn it! Not good enough!
I got all sorts of new stuff on this here soundboard. All right, gentlemen, let's get to the news.
Everyone, great news, everyone. Bad news, everyone.
Uh-oh, I don't like the sound of that.
You are?
So I have a couple of news headlines, but I think actually what might just be way more fun is almost a subtopic within itself here. Google's losing an antitrust lawsuit that they have been ruled as a monopoly for their search engine. And the way that the DOJ is proposing to break them up, I have to confess, I'm kind of with the internet on this one. I don't fully understand how this would change the outcome of the lawsuit here. So basically, the suggestion from the DOJ is that Google be forced to sell off Chrome, to remove that from their network. But part of the antitrust lawsuit, a big part of it, is how Google pays other companies, specifically Mozilla. 80%+ of Mozilla's income is just Google paying them millions of dollars to make Google the default search engine. So even if they sold off Chrome and they then just started paying off the owners of Chrome to make them the primary search engine, like, that wouldn't fix this, right? They just have to pay a little more money. So I don't, unless they're also banning them from paying someone to make them primary search engine, which doesn't seem to have any, I don't know how you make that a legal precedent. So I don't quite get it. Have you guys been following this lawsuit at all?
Not really. I did see the thing about spinning off Chrome. But that's the thing is, like, are they forced to sell Chrome? In which case, who the hell would buy it? who could.
Microsoft, next question.
Fucking Elon Musk. Microsoft has Edge. Jesus, it's Chromium.
No, don't ever say it again.
So well, the only other option then would be to spin it off into its own corporate entity, in which case, okay, cool. It exists separate and apart from Google. You could argue, okay, now they have to accept bids and take the best offer. Maybe Bing says, hey, Chrome, we'll pay you more than Google will. But they don't, though. Like, nobody does.
But I guess so what's confusing to me, though, is just like Chrome is so embedded with like all of Google's products and stuff. Like, how could you have like, or maybe they're thinking of like the Chromebook part of things, maybe. I don't know. Well, like they are.
That's other things. They're deprecating the Chrome OS. We'll come back to that.
Oh, what? They're killing that. I mean, I'm not surprised. I just don't. I can't see how you could separate Chrome from Google and have a successful product, because like,
well,
it's all the cloud stuff. Everything's just kind of interconnected.
So I actually disagree with that. I think that it would actually be super beneficial for the whole tech world if Chrome was its own entity, because Chrome is now basically every browser, right? Firefox itself is only a few percent, like 3% of the global market. There's a lot of forks of Firefox, including Vivaldi and Tor and LibreWolf and Mullvad, but they're all minor players in the privacy space. Everyone else, including Edge. And now, by the way, Netscape Navigator is back, baby, and it's made of Chrome, which makes no sense.
None at all.
Yeah, but like what would they sell? Like the browser, and who would pay for it? Like, well, it's
there's lots of nonprofit organizations. I mean, if your point is that like companies like Mozilla and Mullvad and Brave, they all try to sell services that then, of course, Chrome wouldn't have. They'd be selling back to Google. Yeah, but they could auction off those services to higher bidders. That wouldn't be bad. But I was just saying, it would be good for the tech industry, because now V8 would be out from under Google, and Blink would be out from under Google. I think it would be really good for the tech industry to break that out. But I don't understand how it applies to the monopoly of search. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah. No.
If you gave me ownership of the fucking Chromium code base, really, I fucking guarantee you I could find a way to make money. I fucking guarantee you I could make money with it.
I mean, do you really think you could? Because I would imagine once there's any type of license fee or anything placed upon folks, people will all of a sudden love Firefox that much more.
That would be good. Even if they changed the license to have to pay for certain components, that would still be good. Now, I don't think they could legally do that easily, but you could fork it going forward. But that would still be a really good thing.
I mean, I don't disagree that it would be a good thing, but I can't imagine how you could make a sustainable company out of just a browser. Like,
I mean, Mozilla's been trying and failing for a decade. You know, it's fine.
Yes, that's exactly why. It's just like, we already have that. That's Firefox, right? Yeah,
they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. It's okay. That's fine. This is fine.
What was the other one that I tried? Arc browser? Didn't they just throw in the towel? I think.
There's a ton of weird browsers out there. Splorp or something as a browser.
You just made that
Zen
up.
Is a new browser. I think Concor is the KDE browser. But again, they're all forks of, basically everything these days is a fork of WebKit. There's, again, a very small handful of browsers that are still forking Firefox, and they are all just the privacy browsers. And the only privacy browser to fork Chrome is a full-time company called Brave. But Brave, who's founded by the guy who also founded fucking Mozilla, controversial human, they're selling privacy, which is interesting. Like, I mean, I'm just happy a privacy thing exists. But anyway, you can tell I've been going down a fucking rabbit hole in this shit. Okay, let's talk. Ruli, let's talk about why having Google own Chrome sucks. Because Chrome has finally killed Manifest V2. And they have moved to Manifest 3 fee for plugins, which means they now limit how many URLs and other things that can go through the plugins for security purposes. That literally killed uBlock Origin in its tracks. There's still a version of uBlock Origin that Chrome does support, but it's greatly diminished in its value. Why? Because Embrace, Extend, Extinguish. They fucking murdered this shit. This is why I would love to get it from outside, get it out from under Google, but I don't understand the search part of the monopoly.
Okay, but hear me out too. Google search is garbage now.
It is completely
useless unless you know Google Foo. That is the only way to make it useful. Like, if you're not putting site with a site name under it and you're not using some extra Boolean logic like the old days, it's just like add. It's and the AI component has also been garbage. Ad revenue.
Google and the end shitification of the internet is really, honestly, truly a thing. Who was it that linked me the Better Offline podcast? Was that Matt?
Probably.
I listened to a couple of episodes. The guy is pretty opinionated. It's kind of editorial-esque at times. And I don't like his editorial parts, but like when he's going over just facts about lawsuits and other things, it's really informative, especially how Google's restructured in recent years and kicked out people who originally did the real original search stuff. Very informative stuff about Google. Google's shitification, their search engine really is. It sounds like a joke, like all of a sudden you're like, oh, we don't like Google anymore. But like, no, it's so fucking bad. It's getting worse all the time. Bing isn't a ton better, but I do think it is better. But at this point, I'm using any other search engine. I'm considering paying for something with a K. What the hell is it called? But also Brave Search combines Google and Bing to put things together. I don't know, guys. Search is getting worse on the net, man. SEO won the battle. Dear listener, that means search engine optimization. Basically, people figured out how to game the system. Anyway, okay, moving on.
Well,
more.
We conflated our resource identifiers with fucking ads. The conflict of interest was baked in from the start. Yeah. So,
I did look into an open source project that allows you to run your own search engine that basically is a proxy to other search engines, but then uses a bunch of filtering to like remove all the ads and other shit. So I was considering looking into how to host my own search index. Okay, sorry, I'll play it. All right, really getting into more Google news. Google is killing Chrome OS, or at least that is the plan. Basically, their plan is to replace it with Android. They're making a more, you know, they're going back to make like the more tablet-friendly version of Android run on these laptops. And so the idea is to phase out Chrome OS in favor of Android. I hate to admit it, but from a business perspective, it makes a lot of sense. Then you can actually run apps on the goddamn thing as opposed to just running the browser. Like, it's smarter for them. It's better for the consumer. I mean, it's all privacy invasive as fuck, and I hate it, but like, it is better that way. Hold on,
You could argue as well that having the capabilities that Android offers in the current environment with the proliferation of AI stuff, being able to run that stuff locally on your device, like basically all the assistants now do, means that they don't have to deal with a lot of the privacy considerations of sending queries over the wire beyond what is first sanitized by the AI system on your local device.
Yeah.
So
it's great compression for their ass.
So hard no on Android because it's just a shit show now.
I mean, I am, oh my God, it's a heresy. I am considering switching to iOS. Like my next phone might actually do it.
Yeah. So two things that stick out. One would be, I think we all went through a stage where like, was it the Nexus 7 or Nexus 9 tablet was the best tablet ever?
Nexus 7 is my favorite. I could fit it in my back pocket.
Yeah,
it was so amazing.
I loved it. I think everyone loved it. And you know what Google did?
In Shitify?
Absolutely zero with it. Yeah, so I will never buy a tablet from them ever again because the whole prospect of like, this is really cool. They're doing a lot of good stuff to just like, you know what, whatever.
You're saying so that the other new tablets are
not good enough, damn it, not good enough.
I guess they have tablets now, but they had like a 7-year gap where they just didn't make them. And I'm just like, I just put it out of my mind and just bought a whole bunch of iPads and I'm happy with that. The other one is, I don't know if I talked to y'all about it or watched a whole bunch of videos on it, but like there's this really weird thing going on with app developers getting certain permissions to like use like core services like Google Drive. I'll look it up in a little bit after I finish talking about it, but one of the things I saw was there was this company that does like a text editing thing, you know, whatever. It's just like it's a text editor for a niche thing. It could be like screenwriting or something, but like every time they would submit their application for their app to run and use Google Drive, they're like, no, you can only use Google Drive in read-only mode. So they kept like asking them what like they needed to do to get the permissions. And then apparently like they want developers to like go through this like third-party testing process that isn't actually run by like the people there. And guess what? They cost lots of money. So long story short, these people put together this whole thing of like, hey, you know what? We used to make apps for iOS and Android. You know what? We're not doing the Android app anymore because it is so cost prohibitive to get into the market space. So like, if you've got small app developers that can't even use something mission critical as Google Drive and not have any way to integrate any type of local storage to cloud storage on it with Android, like, what are they even doing? Like, what is the whole point of even having this little computer device? It's just dumb. So I have no hope for any Android-based device in the future going forward.
Yeah. Google's just getting worse on all fronts, guys. I just don't... Like, don't get me wrong. They're a multi-billion dollar company. They'll be around forever. AOL is still around, y'all. Like, they'll be fine. But God, it just keeps getting fucking worse. Yeah. I don't love Apple. I don't love fucking Apple, but... Oh, they're getting better. Well, Google's getting worse, in my opinion. Pretty simple trend lines. So, I think the last thing on this particular subject, which is now, look, I don't. Of all the doom and dread and existential threat that's out there, technology doesn't, especially like open source technology, like doesn't scare me nearly as much because where there's billions of humans, there's millions of devs. We'll find a way around this shit. But like. Privacy in browsers is getting worse, right? So I just said that Manifest V2 was killed off by Google. Well, in the recent layoffs from Mozilla, they laid off their entire advocacy team, which was all about, you know, security and privacy and all these other things. It was supposed to be a core value. Now, having worked for companies that have laid off teams like that, it's not just like, oh, you got rid of the security team. Oh, clearly you don't care about security anymore. No, I'm sure they still do care about these things to an extent, but they're going to put way less emphasis on it, and it's going to phase over time. So with Firefox having its own issues... And if Chrome gets sold off and Google can't pay them for being their primary search engine, they're potentially going to go bankrupt. Their advocacy group is gone. So I don't know what the future of Firefox is, if fucking anything. Meanwhile, again, you got Chrome that is like extinguishing privacy on the internet. And the only fork of Chromium that's really doing much about this, well, it would be Vivaldi or Brave that are building in their own ad blockers into the system. But they're private companies. They're fucking private companies. So I don't know where the future of privacy with browsers is going here, because we're not in a great spot. Again, I have no doubt people around the world will figure this out and solve it, but like, not in a great spot. And Zach is just grinning like an asshole because I know he's like, hey Tom, have you used Microsoft Edge? To which I say,
no! You gotta start living on the edge, Tom. Join us.
No!
It's better. It's so much better. Anyway.
We have no law to fit your crime.
So anyway, that's all the tech news I want to talk about. Our Android app is frozen in carbonite. Really is just posting articles, baby.
Well, yeah, no, I found the articles talking about what I was mentioning. It is, what is this? This is IA. What is that even? I don't know what it is. Story, visualize, showtime. Tell your story. Share your mind. Yeah, just some like
free your text editing mind. Stuff.
The notebook for writers. But the other one's Panic. They had a really cool SSH app for your phone, if you've ever used that.
Now, speaking of Panic, though, did you guys hear about what Linux is doing in the next kernel in 6.12? So when you get a kernel panic, so basically like, you know, the Linux equivalent of blue screen of death, instead of just giving you log lines, they're going to give you a goddamn QR code. The OS is going to generate a motherfucking QR code you can just scan to get all the crash information. How awesome is that?
Okay.
Dear listener, they don't give a fuck. My reaction was,
who's going to take a picture of their phone? And what do you do with that after that?
Well, I'm going to pick a picture of my computer from my phone because the computer crashed. I haven't had a kernel panic yet. I'm loving my Kubuntu. You guys, shit is the shit. Love it. This is my reaction to switching to Linux.
I will say that one of the things I like about the Chromebooks is they have made it easier and easier to just install Ubuntu stuff on it. That's been nice.
Yeah, actually, my one little Chromebook I got left, I kind of want to see if I can fully hack it to do that. Otherwise, I'm just going to... Well, in any case, I think I'm just going to give it to Goodwill or some shit. So, all right, gentlemen. Do y'all want to switch over to or wrap up with trailers?
I can do a trailer.
Let's trailer it up.
Hitch it on. Hitch on the trailer.
Coming soon to a cinema near you. In a land that...
No, in a land...
In a time...
Nah, I don't think so.
In a land before time...
Yep, yep, yep!
All All right, gentlemen, real quick. I have been chugging water and shit because I want to be nice and hydrated before I go for
water
surgery.
Water and shit?
And wow. Shit, both
dedicated,
right,
man.
So I'm going to step away because, side effect, I need to piss. So I'm going to piss. I'm going to refill this. I'm going to come back. And I'm going to put in the transition music after a fact so you guys can just talk about whatever you want. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Just put on the Jeopardy music.
I don't... No, you had suggested the Monty Python music. And so I'm going to put that in after the fact.
Oh, also good.
It's going to be great.
Also good.
How's it going?
It's going.
So is the cyclone thing like really serious or not? I have no idea how to gauge any news anymore.
Yeah, I guess... So there are two people died, I guess, in Washington, or I guess around this general area. One woman, apparently a tree fell on her house while she was in the shower. That's a way to go. Somebody else got their car crushed, I guess. Oh, no. Tree landed on a homeless camp. So, yeah, that's fun. But, like, yeah, the winds aren't super bad. They're strong enough that my house shook a bit. The windows made fun noises, but the risk is it's dumping a lot of moisture, like a lot more than we usually get. And so they're like, yeah, there's flood watches now, which I don't really believe because it doesn't really flood here. The whole area is built on... Well, Seattle itself is built on an estuary, right? So it's just like all the outflow from a bunch of different little rivers or creeks. Everything is going into the sea already, and it's not a long trip. So, I don't know. On the other hand, for whatever reason, in a place that rains as much as often as it does, not really as much as anywhere else, but they are really, really bad at mitigating water on roads. And so, like, drainage channels are one thing, and like, it keeps you from flooding, sure, but they leave a lot of water on the roads, and that is not great when it's dark so much as it is here, because you can't see the lane markers when everything is reflecting back in your face. So even if the flood is like, there's a quarter inch of water on the roads, that's not going to wash you away, but it may make you drift into a different lane. So yeah, that's fun. And then lots of pictures of trees getting knocked over and cars getting crushed. A bus ran into a building. That was kind of cool.
On that note, trailers?
Trailer it up.
All right, Zach, tell your listener what we're about to watch.
How to Train Your Dragon Pipe official teaser trailer. So this is our live action remake.
Live action remake of the first movie. Did y'all watch any of the How to Train Your Dragons?
Yeah, like they're good.
I've seen them here and there by proxy of my children. Yes,
I saw the first two. I didn't see the third one, and not for any good reason.
There's a third one.
It's trilogy. There's also a TV show.
Four, I think. Yeah, there's a lot.
There are four? Oh, fuck me. Okay.
Well, I have no idea. Well, I might be confusing the TV show too, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, I saw the first two. Definitely enjoyed the first one. The second one was okay too. Made me tear up a bit because a aggro pet killed a dad. I wonder why those two things would make me get choked up. Who fucking knows? but I didn't watch any of the other stuff, so pretty good. Yeah, did you even know this was a thing? Because I didn't know this was a thing until like 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, I was aware of it recently, but also, I mean, watch this trailer, then I will elaborate on this.
3, 2, 1, play.
Why are we doing this? It is so grim, dark, and gray, and dark. It's so dark.
But, like, the thing about this is it looks like a shot-for-shot remake of the fucking movie, and I find that weird. Like,
I can't kill dragons.
Like, they're doing the same thing as Disney.
Yeah,
not
basically.
Not that weird, I guess, but like.
But you will.
One of the funniest comments that I saw based on the direction these films are going is they're turning a movie that was 100% CGI into 75% CGI.
Yeah.
So.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, and the dragon designs are identical to what they were originally, which, don't get me wrong, Toothless is a fucking fantastic design, but. know, you could have put some more scales on him or something.
I don't know, but it just seems so
unnecessary.
I mean, not unnecessary, but like it just like the animation's good. I don't know why people don't like animation.
I don't know.
And
either.
It's just like it's like, who is this for? Because it's just like, I seen that shot. It's just like, it's not emotionally moving compared to seeing in the cartoon. And like the cartoon, like it has that weight that CGI just doesn't have ever. Still, I don't know. Just
it's at least visually consistent.
Who is this movie for? No, Justin the Dragon. Everything else is just garbage.
Yeah. No. That's what I mean. The animated version of that movie was visually consistent with itself.
Yes. Yeah.
The CGI in the live action is so fucking jarring because I don't know what I'm watching. It's
you're watching a franchise, Zach. Franchise.
Well, yeah, but it's like, it's not as charming as Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where they mix the things best together. The it's the weird stylistic choice or something. I don't know. But it's bad.
Eh.
It's bad and I hate it.
Well, gentlemen, let's do one more trailer. I just found out about this one as well. This one, I hate to admit, I did actually watch this trailer, but that's okay. We won't tell anyone that. All right. Ruli, tell your listener what we're about to watch.
Love Hurts Pipe official trailer.
Have you guys heard of this at all?
Nope.
No.
So, it looks
mediocre.
Of
Nobody and Violent Night. I've never heard of either of those either. So,
you know, you haven't heard of Nobody?
No. What is it?
It's like John Wick with Better Call Saul.
Hooray?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
I never saw it. But yeah, I know what you're talking about. Okay. I have a little bit of context.
You know, saw it? Nobody. Haha, because it's Nobody. And yeah, it wasn't funny. Sorry. 3, 2, 1, play.
Hello.
Morning, Marvin.
Every day is an opportunity to change your life.
Look, I'm in for Kihu Kwan, okay? That's simple.
You think I just woke up one day as a top-selling realtor?
You have won the Regional Realtor of the Year Award.
It's got Sean Astin.
No. I had to work for it and stop becoming who I wanted to be.
Aww.
Hiding ain't living. Not feeling great all of a sudden.
Like, I'm not saying this movie looks good, because it doesn't.
We've been looking for you.
But I'm interested.
I mean, yeah, okay.
I thought a has-been killer like yourself would be scarier.
Who are you?
Really hasn't said a goddamn word.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what's exactly happening in this movie, so.
Well, you're getting the entire movie in this trailer. Like, the whole fucking thing.
Where's the money?
Tell my brother to back off.
Where's the money?
It's Kihu Kwan does, you know, John Wick. I'm fine with it.
Kihu Kwan does John Wick X, Jackie Chan. Like, that's straight out of Jackie Chan.
Well, jumping over the fences is straight out of like the Edgar Wright Coronado trilogy.
Sure, that too.
Stole from my brother. I got you out. Why did you come back?
Why did you come back?
And hiding ain't living. If we're gonna stop your brother, I'm gonna need the old you.
We are seeing the entire movie. The entire movie from start to finish.
We need a montage.
Montage!
Are you all right?
I was in the middle of a high-intensity yoga. Can you give me a minute?
We need a montage.
I'm so sorry.
Anytime he kills me with a pencil, I'm in.
But he double-crossed me. Find him.
Now!
Swiss cheese they shit.
Don't worry. I've got guys who can patch all this up like new.
Again, it looks mediocre as fuck, but I'm here for it. I hate to admit it.
That looks good.
Yeah, I mean, it's popcorn as hell, and I'm okay with that.
The question is this theatrical or like Paramount Plus Plus or something?
Oh, God, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Love hurts.
He said the movie.
Yeah,
in the movie.
Line, in the thing.
In theaters. Yeah, it looks
okay,
fun.
Theaters. Yeah, there you go. February 7th. It's going to be a Valentine's Day movie. You can take your Valentine. All right. Ruli, think of what song we're going to go out on while I do this thing we do. Hey, dear listener, thank you so very much for joining us. Please always remember that any all views expressed on the podcast representative solely of the person expressing them, not of the friends, family, co-hosts, or co-workers, and certainly not employers, past, present, and future. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for respecting our individuality. Ruli, what do we go down on?
I'm still thinking, and by thinking, I'm looking at searching things.
Think faster, harder, longer, stronger.
Oh, well, then now you're going to have to do Daft Punk, because you just inceptioned me. Do the Daft Punk song.
That's not it.
Look, it's Daft Punk. Shut up.
Close enough. Close enough.
Yeah, that's true. They only have one song.
The robots.
Did Daft Punk do Tron? No.
Yes, they did Tron. What are you talking about?
And who's doing the new Tron?
Oh, there's a good science joke there that I'm just not smart enough to make.
All right. gentlemen, thanks for podcasting tonight. Especially, I need something to take my mind off tomorrow. Next week is Thanksgiving, right? So I don't know if you guys will be around.
Almost definitely not.
Yeah. You and your families. Fuck you. So cool. We'll be back in 2 weeks then. Okay.
Sounds good.
Dear listener, they're busy dancing. They are literally both dancing. It's too bad this is not a visual medium. Until next time, dear listener, in 2 weeks, have a happy turkey day. And until then, gobble, gobble, and QQ.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't understand the rules, and I really thought I had to play it, figure out who I would need to, like, fuck, marry, kill out of, like, Picard, Doctor Who, and Luke Skywalker. I'm like, this is going to be too difficult. What?
That's it. I'm getting out of here.